Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Neil Coulon joins us. Neil, great to have you with us. I know you're a big believer in storylines. I never knew Andy Reid coached the Eagles. I was stunned when I read it. I didn't know there were Kelce brothers in the game.
There are. I'm shocked. Let me go take a look. No, we had we had actually planned on writing that not long after the game. We had kind of an internal joke that we wanted to be the first to get that out there. We got it out pretty quickly, and we weren't even close to the first. So it was
it's
lesson learned.
It's just none of it has anything to do with winning and losing, which is all I'm really interested in.
The torturous part is the bye week leading into the game, because you have the hype and everything coming off the conference championship.
Right.
Bottom's going to fall out in T-minus 3 hours. And at that point, it's kind of dead. People will forget about it. They really don't pick it up as well as they used to either. So the excitement doesn't really come back. I don't think until 4 or 5 hours before kickoff, and that's when people are making their cheese dip and their buffalo wing.
Do you watch the pregame show? I don't.
No.
I have no interest in it, because it's the same thing we just talked about. It's going to be a story about the Kelce brothers. It's going to be a story about Andy Reid. It's going to be a story about Nick Sirianni. It's going to be how Jalen Hurts got benched in the title game, blah, 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 blah. I mean, just tell me when the national anthem is and the jet flyover, and that's all I need to know.
To be fair, I'll defend my fellow reporters when it comes to this. You don't get access, and they don't tell you anything.
So you get zero.
All they do is set you up for the puff piece, which is really... You'll see plenty of these, but you'll see whoever gets the exclusive, the one-on-one with Kelce's mom, that's going to be the big one. And then it's done with kind of a sense of, okay, seriously, now, tell us about you. Heavily, protected. They're not going to dive into anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's probably the bad topic to bring up, but it not to suggest it needs to be controversial or anything like that, but you don't learn anything from any of that. It's not written or produced for that kind of an audience. It's people who are just kind of tuning in for the first time.
No, I have the Super Bowl, and my pregame show is going to get tens of millions of viewers. And that gives the network that has the Super Bowl, which, by the way, is paid through the nose for the rights, a chance through commercials to make the money back. Okay, and so I'm completely for that, because on a business model, you have to do it, and I totally agree with it. That doesn't mean as a viewer I want to watch it, because I don't want to watch it. But the difference between a Super Bowl and either a college football playoff, or I'll give you the most recent example, I went through the Rose Bowl, is that the Rose Bowl, when they finally have media day, where they open it up, they have to have every player available. The freshmen are available for the first time. Oh, now you actually do have fresh stories out there to tell, as opposed to covering an NFL team where you've been around them all year and there's nothing to tell.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I laughed because it's a long-running conversation that I've had within the space. College is infinitely harder to cover, in my opinion, top to bottom, than the NFL is. The NFL built itself to be accessible. I know that sounds crazy, but in comparison to college, where you don't get injury reports, you can't speak to almost the entire roster. Most of this depends on the school, but the high-level stuff, you're not getting a whole lot of that, of course, unless you're Steve Jones. Then you probably get more than the local beat will. But overall, it's you're restricted to the point where you're calling out the specific day in which you can actually go talk to the freshmen. That day is in January. They've been there, in some cases, since the previous January. It's harder to do that. The injury report is the big thing that I always point out. just because that's a critical component to day-to-day coverage of an NFL team. You're going to be discussing injuries minimum 3 days out of the week, and if it's anybody of significance, it's every day. You're going to continue to go over that. You've got that to draw from. And then with it, the spider graph of the story will lean probably heavily into backup or schematic, whatever it is. You have to account for the potential absence of whichever player it is that's hurt, and there might be a couple of them. That's an ongoing storyline. You don't get that in college. You have to predict almost in a way, and even then. You probably won't have back if it's the starting quarterback. How much access to the backup are you going to get if the starter is what right. NFL people would deem as questionable? You're not going to speak to the backup ever. No. You might get the backup after the game if he plays, but you have just far less to go on. I would find that extraordinarily frustrating. That's just me.
Yeah, and by the way, the Pac-10, Pac-12. Is actually strongly considering doing injury reports. Now, we'll see if they follow through on it, but that's just a side note. The Eagles have been the NFL's best team all season. But they haven't exactly played murderer's row on the schedule. And it's just the way it works out. Kansas City, on the other hand, has played an exponentially tougher schedule. But there have been a lot of weeks they haven't looked good doing it. The Eagles have looked good doing it all season, regardless of who they played. So what's your thought on this, at least 10 days out?
I think, oddly enough, I think I could draw a similar parallel again to college. I think you throw all of that out, one-game playoff, when you have 2 weeks to prepare for a team. In college, you have like 5 weeks in some instances. You see very different versions of both teams going up against each other. You don't have that much time in the NFL. You're going to see the base concepts from both of them. But you're at a heightened state of preparation. You're no longer preparing for the whole season or other stuff that you might put on film. It's everything. So you tend to get, not every game, but you tend to get the best out of at least one of the teams. You're going to see where they are at their absolute finest. It doesn't mean that they play the best, but schematically that's what they're aiming to do. Because of that, I don't think the records are really as indicative of what you're getting. It truly becomes, you know, the matchup performance.
Right.
You know, probably
exactly.
Like MMA yep. is matchups make right. everything. The NFL, I don't think is all that different than that. I think you can get great games based on pairings that have nothing to do with how they got to the point that they're at. I do think, though, there is some contrast that comes from this. I've seen Philadelphia play probably the best football consistently this season. I picked them to get to the Super Bowl. I also saw Philadelphia play against Detroit at a point that Detroit wasn't playing particularly well, and Detroit should have won the game. So it's hard to draw much from more than where you currently are, maybe back 2 weeks. Now you get into Super Bowl, all that's kind of thrown out. You've got a neutral weather environment at the worst. By and large, they're going to have their best foot forward. You'll see some great things out of Philadelphia's offense. You're going to see, assuming they're healthy enough, Patrick Mahomes probably do some things that human beings simply can't do. Those things will you know, combine to create the end result. But I just find the Super Bowl that the better team wins that game more often than not.
Yeah,
and that could be a record
that,
thing. It might not be.
Yeah.
You know, the one that I would use the most often, after the 2007 season, we saw the Patriots lose their first game. Right. The Giants were the better team that game. I don't think it was really even questionable. If anything, it wasn't as close as it should have been. The Giants outplayed them. And, you know, records are obviously significant for a game like that. By and large, though, they're good football teams. But the better prepared team that's healthier, that has more depth, tends to win. I think that's Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think people forget that that the last game of the regular season, the Giants played the Patriots and they went toe-to-toe with them. I think they kind of walked out of it and said, you know what, we're just as good as they are. And I think then when they came back and played the Super Bowl, they were the better team that day. Hurts played, for the first time, Hurts looked like he played injured. And they got away with it because they're so good. The Eagles are so good. I mean, I think this Eagles team is a more complete team than the one that won it 5 years ago.
I would agree with that for sure. And I think if we're really going to dive down the rabbit hole of this, I look at, in this generation, it's impossible to avoid, but the Patriots established what a team needs to do to win consistently. And obviously having Tom Brady is a large part of being able to win consistently, as is, sure, you know, right, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, et cetera, et cetera. When you have that piece solved, though, you have to constantly reinvent what you're doing. You have to be able to pivot into different things for different situations. And the Patriots had enough success, and they played long enough that at a point where they've put down so much film with the coaches and the players that they have, teams would catch up to them eventually and knock them off. That was the point in which they got away from what they would do, because the main thing that they always did was build for that sense of versatility. And in that, Belichick found market inefficiencies all over. They were able to do things at a high level in a very specified way. They played situational football all the time, that they could get away with, you know, essentially a lack of skill position players at wide receiver. You know,
that's
with
right,
the exception of Moss, they didn't have traditional receivers. They used
right,
their receivers in a very different way. Now, you can get away with that when you have Rob Gronkowski. But Gronkowski was a part of a new wave of tight end that wasn't being used in a traditional sense. Another market inefficiency. They got him in, what, round three, something like that?
Yeah.
Eventually they're going to pay him. But the idea is that they were able to find all of these unique pieces at low cost and low capital expenditure to create an offense that was still very hard to defend. It just, you couldn't really prepare for them. They could do whatever they wanted to do. I feel Philadelphia has found a way to do that. And 10,000 foot level, a large part of it is, this is a team, and I don't know if this has been stated enough or by the right outlets at this point, this is a team that fired the head coach, made a mistake on a contract extension for its quarterback after winning a championship, and is now going to be the favorite in another Super Bowl 5 years later. What team is able to do that? I mean, think of it. Find another team. We fired our head coach. We missed on our quarterback's big contract. We replaced those pieces. Within 5 years, we're in a championship game again. It doesn't happen. I mean, it's really hard to do that.
Well, you know what the irony is? The last game, the last Super Bowl played in this stadium was the Russell Wilson Butler interception at the goal line.
Yeah.
Right? That was the last Super Bowl played in this stadium. That was also right before Wilson got the gigantic contract and Seattle had all that capital to spread around other places. The Eagles have a second-round pick, and they've spread the capital around to everywhere else. And I think that's the similarity between Super Bowl teams, is that the Eagles were able to get there because they didn't have to spend money the last couple of years on their quarterback.
Yeah, but look how quickly that transition took place, though, because they still had Wentz to some degree. Yeah. Granted, let's be fair, they fell forward with Wentz. I mean, they were able to trade him for, you know, pretty good capital.
Unbelievable.
For what they lost. I mean, they won and won in that deal.
Howie Roseman got the Tennessee guy Robinson fired.
Probably. Why? Because on draft day, I was beside myself. One, you don't trade A.J. Brown. Two, if you're trading him because he wants Philadelphia gave him low market value. It wasn't even like the top contract.
I know. It's crazy.
This guy's a stud. I mean, there's no way in the world I wouldn't want that guy on my team. Oh. I'd have paid him $150 over 5 years. I think he's that good. And he's proving that. At the same time, though, they cratered and were able to get Devontae Smith, who is a phenomenal player. You put that in with your quarterback, and you're setting up your structure to something that you and I have talked about recently. There's so much cover two that's being played. The quarterback is able to run. So, let's just take what the defense gives us, and if they give us over the top, we're going to go for it.
And not only that, he kills you in the red zone because you have to account for him in the red zone. So you can't blitz. You can't blitz that guy, and you can't drop him in the coverage either.
Exactly right. And that nullifies the man advantage that a defense would have. You have to account for the quarterback, and you have very little time to do it. So it's pick your poison to a point where I think this is a lot of Philadelphia's offense. They do so much combo routes, option routes, choice routes, things like that, that it's a matter of your quarterback just simply reading what is happening after the snap. It's not about what they're calling in the huddle. And it's funny to me because I was joking around with Steelers fans about this who weren't happy that I was joking around about it, but it's the opposite of what Steelers are doing. And it's like, I don't think it's a surprise. You have an offense that has legitimate high-level talent, but not, you know, world-beating in all cases. It's just they're a step ahead of you in everything that they do. They're that good. They're that competitive.
All right, this is just the beginning. We'll continue this conversation next week. And you know what? Just for a couple of jollies, we'll actually break down some of the key matchups. I mean, I know it's stupid to talk about like actual football, Neil, but why don't you and I give it a shot?
Absolutely. I'm all for that. I'll be watching a good chunk of it when the hoopla here dies down, and we'll see how they match up with each other. I think it'd be a pretty good game. They're competitive on paper for sure.
I mean, there are a couple things, like let's say Kansas City, for example. Kansas City needs to get Snead out of concussion protocol, which he should, because they need one, at least a guy that's been around the block in this game back there against these receivers. And the other part too is that they need to get the two receivers. I mean, Tony is like, look, he doesn't light me up, but he's better than what they have. And Hardman has got to be full strength because they just can't have it be Kelce and Valdes-Scantling.
Nope. I think Kansas City got away with quite a bit. And I said that initially when Steve went down. I was like, that's not the guy they could lose. It's trouble against a team like this. And I don't know. I bet Zach Taylor's kicking himself for more things than the officiating following that game. They had ample opportunities to win that and probably should have.
Absolutely. No question. All right, so we'll actually talk football next week. You know, did you know Kevin Hart's an Eagles fan? So's Bradley Cooper. I mean, maybe we can get him on the show.
Last time I saw them on TV was before an Eagles game, which is typically when you see them nowadays. So.
Yes, that's about when they show up. Now they don't show up on my movie screen. All right, so. Neil, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.